Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Most live music venues around the country have been shut down for almost 4 months because of the pandemic. In Washington, D.C., some venue owners are finding creative ways to adapt their businesses to this new reality, while others are struggling to survive. Michaela Lefrak of member station WAMU reports.
The idea of going to a concert kind of feels like a magical relic of the before times. Sure, we're in phase two of reopening now, but gatherings of more than 50 people are still banned. Most indoor concert halls remain closed, including the Black Cat in D.C. Dante Ferrando's the owner.
I'm getting calls though. Hey, are you guys open tonight? Like, no, you guys don't understand. We're not open until next year.
The Black Cat's known for sweaty rock shows and dance parties. Ferrando says there's no way for him to reopen in the foreseeable future and make any money. Paying overhead costs like insurance and staffing isn't possible unless he can sell hundreds of tickets, not the 50 he thinks he would sell while enforcing social distancing rules.
The numbers just don't work. They're not there. It's insanely expensive.
Ferrando's one of many venue owners that's lobbying the city and the federal government for more support in the form of property tax rebates or rent relief. Otherwise, he says, they could close. It's not an empty threat. In mid-June, the popular nightlife spot 18th Street Lounge closed after 25 years in the DuPont Circle neighborhood because the owner said he couldn't afford the rent.
That hurts so much to see that. So many people have had incredible experiences there.
Audrey Fix Schaefer is the communications director for IMP, the company that runs some of the area's biggest music venues. She's also the communications director for a new organization called the National Independent Venue Association. They've been lobbying Congress for help since March.
Government support by cash and tax incentives are going to be the only thing that will save us.
Even if venues could reopen, they might struggle to find national acts to book. But that could be good for local musicians. Ali Vega is a musician and the talent buyer at DC9, a small bar, restaurant, and venue in DC's Shaw neighborhood. She says bands probably aren't going to be touring nationally until next year.
In the meantime, I think we're going to be really heavily reliant on local music, which is in a way cool because DC has such like a deep well of really talented musicians in all sorts of different genres.
DC9 has also been playing around with ways to make their venue feel safer. One idea is to put up a plexiglass barrier between the stage and the audience. Vega's on the fence about this, but says it'd be better than the status quo.
You know, even playing to like 20 people in a room is still a good feeling. And certainly better than playing to your phone for an Instagram live stream.
But some venues are investing in live streams until they can host crowds. Dante Ferrando is putting on live streamed events from the Black Cat, though it's a far cry from the packed concerts he'd rather be hosting.
I think we're stuck mostly with ideas that involve virtual content coming from the club while we're closed. It's kind of all we're left with.
Meanwhile, a few weeks ago, people gathered in a garden in Alexandria, Virginia, to watch a performance by local classical musicians. The concert was put on by Classical Movements, a local touring company. It was one of three concerts put on that day. Each audience was limited to about 40 people. And instead of squishing down into plush concert hall seats, they stood 6 feet apart. It wasn't what anyone was used to. But for one afternoon at least, the music was back. For Here and Now, I'm Michaela Lefrak.